11th play of the drive. Wentz looking around at the end zone, throws in the back corner. It is a touchdown, Philadelphia! And it's Greg Ward, who has been the money man on this drive for the Eagles. The former star quarterback just 2 years ago at the University of Houston. And now he celebrates his greatest moment as a pro, and it's as a wide receiver.
Welcome to the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast, episode 41. I am your host, Fred Halbig. Huge win for the Eagles on Sunday. Disappointing loss for the Steelers on Sunday night. And joining me to talk about all this, Jay, what's up, man?
I don't want to hear shit about a good win for the Eagles.
Hey, right? At this point in the season, I will take it. I'll take it. I don't, whatever, man. I know it's, I'm looking at this game just as a fan for fun, man. I don't even care that the Redskins are a terrible team. It was just a fun game to watch. It was an enjoyable game all the way down to the end. And then you heard in the beginning, Wentz with a touchdown pass to Greg Ward with right around 30 seconds left to go to seal it and get the victory. And now it's week 16. All comes down to week 16. We've been saying this all year, I feel like.
Yeah. We've the past couple of weeks definitely been hyping up this game because it looked like it was going to come down to it. And it really did. Which you don't see that often with two rivals, division
for
rivals.
All the marbles this Sunday coming up.
For everything.
Well, if the Cowboys win, the Cowboys were they dismantled the Rams on Sunday, which was very disappointing to see. They looked good, though. So now if the Cowboys beat the Eagles on Sunday, that's it for us. We're donezo. So it is official. The Cowboys will win the division if we lose on Sunday. The Eagles have to win out. So they have to beat the Cowboys, and then they have to win again on week 17 to officially win the NFC East. So, but they have to win this week. But, all right, we'll get into all that coming up this week. We got we're going to do our game reviews here. We had the Eagles, like I said, big win against Washington this past Sunday, and then the Steelers, a little bit of a slip-up Sunday night. I still believe they're in playoffs. As of right now, though, right, Jay?
Still have the sixth seed right now. They can't get the fifth seed now because Buffalo beat them. Buffalo clinched
but
the fifth
seed. But
they're
still in the playoff hunt. So.
Yeah, unless the Patriots get suspended from the playoffs.
That won't happen.
They're going to get nothing.
But going into week 16, both our teams still in it. A lot of football left, though. I mean.
Yeah, and can both still end up out of the playoffs.
We could be sitting here in two weeks talking about the draft instead of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, but we'll get into the games. I'll start with Philly since they played 1 o'clock on Sunday. Jay, did you get to see any of the game?
No, I didn't because we had a little bit of mix-up with the ticket. So I got to watch Red Zone. So I get to catch a little bit of it when it was on. Okay. But
for the first part of the game, man, it's been the same Eagles that you've seen all year. I don't want to get too negative about this game, so I'll go over a few of the negative things that I saw still this week that has been plaguing this team the entire season. And then I'll go into all the positive stuff. Went on a good note this week. Same stuff you see all year from the Eagles, the penalties, stupid penalties that are just killing drives for them. They were driving a couple times in the first quarter. Next thing you get a false start here, holding call there, and it just kills them. Just stupid, dumb penalties at the wrong time, you know, and it's just ending drives. So that was a big problem for them in the first half, it seemed like. And then I got to talk about the defense, bro.
Your favorite part.
This defense again this week. They made Dwayne Haskins look legit. Like
he had a pretty good game.
His best game as a professional football player. I just didn't understand their game plan coming in. I mean, there was literally one guy on the Redskins offense that you had to worry about, McLaurin. And
yep,
the man had like five catches for 125 yards and a touchdown. Like they gave up a 75-yard touchdown on a slant on this weird-ass coverage scheme where they had the slot cornerback trying to get back to a deep third, and he just got beat by this slant, but he's trying to get deep. He missed a tackle. Boom, nobody else is back there. 75 yards to the house. So I just don't know what's going on with this defense. It looked like for a while they were going to carry this team, and they just absolutely fell apart. So,
yeah,
along with the whole defensive thing, the missed tackles have been bad. The defensive line, man, so Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like some weeks they will get seven sacks, and then other weeks they just completely disappear. Like, the Redskins have one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL right now. And I don't even think they got a hand on Haskins. Like,
I was just looking at the stats and everything. You kept them bottled up pretty well. But he's not a runner.
Who, Haskins? No, he's not. Yeah, he's a pocket runner. Passer. And they got like zero pressure on him the entire game. It's like Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, like they're paying these dudes good money. And they
sacks won. In that game.
Unless I guess they didn't count that as a sack. At the very last play of the game, they blitzed on that Hail Mary and they caused that fumble that they returned for a touchdown to end the game. I don't know if they counted that as a sack or not. You would think it would be. Or unless he threw. Maybe they counted as a lateral. All right, well, I'll start. I'll stop rambling.
Yeah.
But the defensive line was really bad this game. They cannot beat the Cowboys if they cannot get pressure on Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys' offensive line is a million times better than the Redskins. Yeah, so, you know, and it – and their starting guard, who's a Pro Bowl player, his name's escaping me right now, but he was out this week. So, like, Fletcher Cox should have been just tearing them apart, and he did nothing. Nothing. So that was one of my biggest concerns from this game. The defensive secondary just blowing assignments all the time, just not looking good, and then the defensive line getting zero pressure. But – yeah, so those are the negatives I had in the game. Oh, I also had one more negative. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Yeah,
oof. Man.
I want to like this kid so bad. But yeah, he played the entire game. He had a drop touchdown and no catches.
Yeah, I think it was like four targets on him too, something like that.
That's touchdown, huge, it would have been a really tough catch. The corner seemed like he didn't tip the ball, but he kind of got his hand in his vision, I would say. You know, and he came across his face at the last second trying to knock the ball down. But it hit him right in the hands and the chest area. Like, you got to make that play. But I'm going to use what's his name from the Steelers? Washington? James Washington as an example for JJ. Yeah. He was a second-round pick, right? Yeah, second-round pick.
Yeah, he was last year.
Did not look good his rookie year. Has come on really strong this year. So that's my hope for JJ going into the future. But it has not been good for him this year.
No, and he's not showing anything. That he wasn't getting any playing time earlier in the year. But since every single one of your wide receivers have gone down and he's getting more playing time, he's not
doing he's playing anything. The majority of the game. He had a really nice catch against the Giants last week, but nothing this week. Yep. So that's just concerning to me. Once again, they're going to need more production out of the receivers going into the Dallas game. All right, but I'm going to get into some positive things. Mostly it's all on the offensive side of the ball, and that is Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, and Greg
Ward. There you go.
Those dudes put the team on their back, man. Go ahead.
I was going to say, first, let's talk about Miles Sanders.
Kid's going to be really good.
this kid
he's going to be
great.
A really good football player. He's really starting to come into his own. He struggled a little bit early on in the season as a rookie, adjusting to the speed of the game. He seemed like he wanted to bounce everything outside. He seemed indecisive, hitting the holes. He was lights out yesterday, man.
Yeah, and he also put it for six 50 catches yards. For yeah, 50 touch. Yards. Amazing. Yeah. It's just, yeah, when he's given the opportunity, he's really been shining. And with Howard going down, it's really put him into that position.
Yeah, that.
And this is a kid that you were pounding the table
him.
For.
I loved him
for
coming
them to draft.
Out of the draft. And that was my one player that I was hoping they would take. I told you like a week before the draft, I said, I finally figured out the running back I want. I said, it's Miles Sanders. So,
yeah.
Pittsburgh native Miles Sanders. I actually played semi-pro ball with a few dudes who know him. I'm going to try to get him on the podcast. Sometime in the off season, but I highly doubt that happens. But that'd be it'd be really sweet though if we could, huh?
That would be crazy.
Just a quick little interview with Miles Sanders. But anyway, he actually broke two Eagles rookie records yesterday. He has rushed for more rushing yards than any other Eagle as a rookie ever.
Wow.
Yeah, with two games to go, and he has more scrimmage yards in a season than any other Eagles rookie ever. He passed DeSean Jackson for that one, and he passed Shady McCoy for the rushing yard one. So, yeah, those are some big shoes to fill in, you know, Eagles land. And he surpassed them. So I see nothing but great things from this kid. He had a huge run. It was a draw play on third and 10 where he went 56 yards. I think they clocked him at like 21 miles, 21 point something miles an hour on that. So kid's got some speed. So just exciting, exciting to watch, exciting to see a young player stepping up along with Carson Wentz to really carry this team.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were, we were talking earlier, you were talking about why shouldn't he be in consideration
rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. And I mean, I could see it. I could definitely see his name being up there. I still think it's Josh.
I think it's going to be Josh Jacobs because he has over 1,000 yards rushing. He has a good bit of touchdowns, but
and there's no quarterback that is separating themselves in this rookie class.
But as an all-purpose back, I mean, Miles Sanders is the best all-purpose rookie running back in the NFL.
Yeah, so far,
I saw another stat. I don't have it on me, so I. Can't I'm not 100% sure about it, but I think they said he's the only player. I don't know if it's the only running, because McCaffrey has maybe the only rookie running back in so many years to put up over like 700 rushing yards and 400 receiving yards. There's only been a few guys that's ever done that as a rookie or something like that. So,
okay, yeah, I don't know if I don't know McCaffrey's stats his rookie year, but that seems like he probably did that too.
So that's it's encouraging. It's fun to see. He brings a different dynamic to this offense, and I'm looking forward to seeing his career as an Eagle. So,
yeah.
But along with that, I want to talk about Greg Ward a little bit before we get into Wentz, since he's the biggest part of this game. Greg Ward, former quarterback. He's in his third year playing receiver. Right now, straight up, he's better than Nelson Aguilar.
Right now, he's your best wide receiver.
Yeah, who's healthy.
He's, I don't think
dude,
that's
he's like better than Nelson Aguilar. I don't understand why you would ever put Aguilar back out on the field. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a huge game, but he came up clutch. On that final drive, I'm pretty sure he had like four catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. To win the game. He's consistently caught the ball since he's been called up. The biggest thing about Greg Ward that bothers me, and it's not even about him, it's what the hell took so damn long for the Eagles to bring him up to the roster from the practice squad. Like,
yeah, with the bums you've been playing, you're not going to give this
they
kid a chance.
Matt Collins for like the entire year. who went 9 straight games without a catch. And they brought back Jordan Matthews. all of this before promoting Greg Ward, and this dude comes up and is just making plays. So, I don't know. I think Greg Ward's played himself onto this roster next year. I know there's going to be a big changes at receiver, I believe, but I think he could be a key role player for this team or even a starting slot receiver going forward.
Yeah, it depends, like you said. It just depends on the moves you guys make and how to rest. Two more games, two big games still to go. And let's see what he does against a little better of a defense in Dallas in a season game.
This is a playoff game on Sunday. Yeah. This is literally a playoff game. So,
yeah, so let's see if he can be clutch for you guys again. He was your second leading. I mean, he had the same amount of yards as Ertz, 61. But he was your leading receiver in that game. He had more catches and a touchdown. A great time. Like, that throw and catch was absolutely unbelievable. For basically a rookie. This is his first year in
the NFL.
He's
only been playing receiver for 3 years.
Was he a receiver in
– He was in the AAF at San Antonio.
Okay, was he a receiver?
Because he was with the Eagles the year we won the Super Bowl. He was on our practice squad. That was his rookie year. And then he bounced around, went to the AAF, and then came back for our training camp and was on the practice squad again. So, you know, he's worked hard. He's earned it, and it's good to see that pay off for him. It's good to see young guys like that make a big play. And all that hard work and stuff pays off for him. So that was fun to see.
Yeah, man. So how many receivers did you guys draft this
three game? Again?
Mm-hmm. Was it three again? Okay. So he's the only wide receiver that had a catch in this game.
Yep.
For you guys, and he had seven of them. That's insane.
Yeah. Our.
I don't get what is going on.
Well, their receivers suck. What else can you do?
I mean, Ertz and Goddard both had big games too.
But let me tie this in to Carson Wentz.
Okay.
That right there proves that it doesn't matter who you have out there. If your quarterback is playing good football, if Carson Wentz is playing as good as he's capable of playing, they can win with no matter who's on the field. And that's what he did yesterday. He was really good. He still had some throws he'd like back, a couple plays where he didn't get his feet set and he sailed a ball, or you know, a couple in that. Yeah,
it happens.
But man, two games in a row now, he has been clutch, and it's and I think it's really big for his mental I don't want to say mental state, but just for the mental part of the game, but for him to be able to know that he can and lead this team. And for guys to look at him as that leader, that's huge. And that's big for him going forward, whether they make the playoffs or not, because this is his team. We talked about it a little bit on the preview pod. Those young guys around him, he led them. This is his team. I got a couple stats here that I wanted to throw out about Carson. So over the combined fourth quarter and overtime numbers over the past two games, he was 28 for 34, which is 82.4% completion percentage, for 286 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. That's a 140.9 passer rating in the fourth quarter and overtime the past two games. I understand the competition has been 2 and 3 win teams, but he has
I hate hearing that because it's divisional games. Records get thrown out at that point. You have the Giants and the Skins who could end your season with a win. And I don't count records.
Yeah. But he's you know, when the team needed him the most, he's been able to step up, make big plays. I'm pretty sure on that final drive, he didn't throw an incompletion. And obviously he had the game winning touchdown. But over the last three games, he's thrown for 901 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. Carson Wentz is back to being Carson Wentz, I feel like, no matter who's out there playing receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was more about him not trusting the guys. We've talked about this for sure. He just didn't, he couldn't rely on them. So he was second guessing himself, double clutching the ball. And it was awful for him. And now he's just like, I'm going to let them make the plays. If they fail, it's on them.
I also think, I know this sounds not bad, but without Alshon there, without Aguilar there, I feel like he doesn't feel pressure to get guys the ball. So he's not forcing stuff. He's not looking to try to say the play's designed for Alshon. You know what I mean? He's not like focused in on just trying to get Alshon the ball in that play. I think without those guys there, he's been able to play more free. And, you know, he's, I mean, that one play, that one touchdown pass he threw to Miles Sanders in the corner of the end zone. I mean, that's 2017 vintage Carson Wentz right there.
Yeah, so, definitely.
I mean, did you see that play?
Yeah, it was a great throw. Everyone lost their minds on it. And I just, if that's an inch off the other way, it's picked off. It was a great throw by him. But everyone's crucifying for him for making that throw.
But
I think he did a great job there. It was a touchdown.
But they're not crucifying him because he is Ginger Jesus, and he fired that thing in there for only Miles Sanders could catch it, and it was a win. Yeah.
And Miles Sanders sat on his butt.
I think it was the best throw of his career.
It was a crazy throw of his career. And there was a guy right in front of the end zone, too. Who he just threw it over.
Dude, he ripped that thing so fast, I couldn't even, like, see it until Miles Sanders caught it. It was nuts. So, but yeah, that's about all I got on this game. I think it's a huge win. It got them to where they wanted to be this entire year. And it comes down to week 16 for the division against the Cowboys. And that's all you can ask for. It's a chance to win the division. That was their goal. Beginning of the year, Doug Peterson always says in his press conference, number one goal is to win the division. And now it's right there in front of them. And it's officially Dallas week. So we'll get into that more on our preview pod coming up at the towards the end of this week. But big win for the Eagles. So,
yeah, all definitely. Right.
We'll move on to the Steelers-Buffalo Bills Sunday night matchup.
Sure,
I'm done, dude. Yeah. You don't want to talk about this one? Duck Hodges, you what? Did you already burn your Duck Hodges jersey?
I don't even. Oh yeah, the three that I have on order. I don't know what.
Can
I'm
we talk about? We talked about this earlier today. You're not allowed to call him Duck no more. After that performance,
no,
he doesn't.
No. That's
he has not earned that nickname. That's too cool of a nickname for him.
Yeah,
his name's Dalvin. Yeah, or Delvin.
Devlin.
Whatever it is.
D-E-V-L-I-N, Devlin Hodges. He's no longer Duck after that performance. I'll be completely honest with you. I don't even know where to start.
It was a rough one.
With this game. And it wasn't like the Steelers just got their ass kicked.
No, it was actually pretty close.
It was close. Like, even looking at stats and everything, it was a close game.
It kind of went how we thought it was going to go when we talked about in our preview pod. It was going to be a very low-scoring, tough to move the ball, defensive game with two quarterbacks that aren't, they're, you know what I mean? They're kind of iffy. And that's how it went for most of the game.
Yeah, except for two key things. Didn't see Devlin throwing four interceptions in this game.
Some of those were real bad.
Look, so we'll jump into him first.
We should start and finish on him because that's basically where the game was lost.
It would, okay, so a couple of the interceptions he threw, the one that ended the game and his first one. Look, they're bad interceptions. You never want to throw interceptions, but I don't necessarily blame him. Well, you have to blame him, but it's not like, what the hell were you thinking?
Was the first one almost like a
first
punt?
One?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was third down. Yeah. He just took a deep shot to Washington. Washington didn't track the ball well.
It hung up there.
And it faded towards the sideline. Yeah. But if Washington if he sees it and goes up,
maybe knock
he either
down,
catches it or knocks it down. Yeah. And it was just, it faded towards the sideline and Tre'Davious White went
up. Yeah, I'm not too worried.
One of the best corners in the league. So his second interception was a bad one. It was on an out route to Deontay Johnson, and it was behind him. Like if he puts that out in front of him, it's a catch. It was
that was almost the pick six.
Just threw it behind.
Okay.
Yeah, where a lineman ran him down and pushed him out of bounds.
Yeah, that was a tough throw for him to make. He was on the far hash, and he had to throw a deep out route on the sideline. I mean, that's a tough throw for any quarterback to make.
It is.
And he just put the ball a little bit behind him, and The corner was able to jump it.
It's a big league throw, you know. And then his last two interceptions came in the fourth quarter, which are it's
tough, I did not see because I
you
passed,
throw interceptions like
I
that.
Passed out on my couch
now,
watching the game.
Yeah, the biggest interception of this game was how much time was left in there? It was 5 minutes left in the game. They are on the 23-yard line. It's 4th and 7 on Buffalo's 23. And he drops back, and he just tries to force it to Deion Kane.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, I don't know why you're trying to force a deep ball to Deion Kane. But if you saw the replay, James Washington was going across the middle, and he was wide open. All Duck had to do was just toss it up. Nobody was covering him, and he just completely missed
him. Killer.
So that was it was a really bad missed opportunity for him. And then the last interception was 2nd and 18. They were on Buffalo's 34, and he tried to do a fade to James Washington, and he underthrew it. It was a bad underthrown ball. Now, 2nd and 18 with 6 seconds left. Tomlin was screaming from the sidelines to play the ball, and they never got the message into him. He lined him up and just ran the play. He had nobody in front of him. You could at least sprint for 10 yards, got out of bounds, had 2 seconds left, get something.
Well, like I said, I fell asleep. What was the final score of the game?
17-10.
Okay, so he had a few chances to go down and at least tie the game, and he threw.
Yeah, he had two opportunities at the end of that game. It was a bad game for him. I mean, there's nothing else you can say for it. The offensive line didn't give him much help either. He was under pressure the whole night. Yeah. They were beating up.
That's a legit defense.
Yeah,
they were facing.
Yeah, and Pouncey had a couple more bad snaps in this game. I don't know what's going on.
What did you think
him,
about the offensive play calling? Do you think they should have protected Duck more, run the ball more? And I know they tried to delve in.
That's what I wanted to get into when we get to James Conner. I think the calling was a little weird because I don't understand why you're still doing this wildcat.
Yeah.
I understand.
Especially where they were at on the field.
That was a bad decision. They were
going in.
Inside the 20.
They were in the red zone.
Inside the 20 on it.
To me, that just shows that they don't trust the quarterback to make a play in the red zone.
Yeah, they were on the 10-yard line, and Conner took the snap, tried to do a read option with Deontay Johnson, and he didn't know what he wanted
like
to do.
He was a little indecisive. Like, he kind of stuffed it in there, but he kind of wanted
kind of rode
Johnson
that tried to grip it
longer than he should have.
Yeah. And it started on Buffalo's 20 because that was the play right after TJ Watt ran up behind the running back and punched it out. So it was a great turnover by TJ,
and then they just
get the ball right back. And then that ended the half. And then they come out, started the second half. They go 7 plays, 69 yards for a great touchdown to James Conner. And it seems like they're right back in the game. It's 7-10. Steelers are winning. Then Buffalo fumbles, Steelers punt, and then it was just over.
Yeah.
Through another interception, field goal, punt, touchdown, Buffalo, and then nothing for Steelers. So the play calling was weird. Stop doing the goddamn wildcat. You had 5 running backs in that game. I understand you don't want to put all the – give the focus of the offense to James Conner because of his injury history.
I don't know. It said the Steelers had 5 running backs active and they ran the ball 15 times.
Mm-hmm. 15
That's
total run plays.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of having 5 running
and then,
backs?
Yeah, you're – dude, I can't
you
argue
run
with
it
you there.
15 times.
Uh-huh. So as far as the running went, Conner had 8, White had 2, Hodges had 1, Snell had 2, Samuels had 2.
That's weird.
And Conner had 8 for 42 yards.
Yeah, you're not doing your undrafted rookie quarterback any favors when you only run the ball 15 times. Like, I know it's a throwing lead.
Yeah.
And I know – you know, you got to throw the ball to win, obviously. And if you're down, you're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
They saw
So they had
Delvin Duck. I'm going to have to call him Duck, even though I don't want to. Devlin.
Devlin.
Was struggling. They they should have ran the ball more to protect him. And we talked about in the preview pod that if there's one weakness the Buffalo Bills defense has, it's their run defense.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Buffalo put 8 in the box. They were beating up the interior offensive line. This is maybe the worst game the offensive line has had all year because they were just letting pressure in. So they were I understand why they were trying to throw, but the play calling on the throwing and Devlin's decision-making wasn't good. You weren't getting anything crossing routes, anything over the middle. They were trying deep shots or out routes, everything towards the sideline. They had nothing going over the middle. And I also think that's where Juju comes into play. Juju is a great slot receiver. Say what you want about him being the number one. When you put Juju in a slot, not many people can cover. And when you don't have Juju and you don't also have your starting tight end and you're not trying to use the middle of the field, it's going to hurt your team. Especially when they have a stud like White at cornerback and they have some pretty good safeties too. So if you're not using the middle of the field, especially with a quarterback who doesn't have that strong of an arm, it's not going to work out good for you. So they threw the ball 39 times yesterday. They ran it 15 times. Now, in with 8 minutes left in the game until the end of the game, they threw the ball 15 times. Yeah. So those stats are a little off.
Because they were trying to come back.
This is this is per Alex Kazor on Twitter, who's a really good writer for the Steelers, a website. So throw out all the play calling after Buffalo went up 17-10 with 8 minutes left. Each team's run pass ratios prior to that. Steelers 64% passing, 36% run. So before they got down, they were even throwing a lot. So it's just 22nd ranked run defense.
And they were throwing on them.
And
with
you're
a
just
rookie
trying to sling
undrafted
on.
Quarterback who was struggling.
And then I get you don't want to put all that on Connor. He gets hurt too much. He was even limping at the end of that game.
Yeah, so but Snell's been running tough, and they only got 2 carries.
You dressed 5 running backs. 5 of them.
Give each of them 5 carries.
Use them. And Connor had 8, and the next had 2. Yeah. Like, I don't get this. And
who carries 5 running backs anyway?
The Steelers. It's like carrying 3 wide receivers.
Yeah, it's just –
I don't get it.
It's just
– I don't get the decision to do that. If you're going to dress 5 guys, then it should be, all right, guys, this is going to be a grinded out
ugly game. Yeah, you're each getting 10 carries.
And we're going to beat them on the ground. Be ready when your number's called. You're going in for 4 plays, and you're getting the ball. That's what it should have been.
And if there's anything that'll get a struggling O-line going too, it's running the ball. Let those big dudes line up, smash somebody in the mouth, run the ball, and get them working, and then things can work off of that.
Yeah, and I get the Buffalo Bills. They have a decent defensive line. They have that Phillips kid, and then what's the rookie's name? You were talking about him earlier.
Ed Oliver.
Oliver, yeah. Phillips was just tearing through Pouncey all night. He was getting through there. He had 2 sacks in that game. But it's just offensively, it was an awful game for them. Now, 4 interceptions from him, and then you also had a fumble, too, from the James Conner exchange. So 5 turnovers.
Can't win like that.
Defensively, I mean, the defense can't do much better than they did yesterday. They gave up 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean,
1 came off of a Jordan Berry 22-yard punt. Yeah, that's just exactly what we need, Jordan.
Yeah, that was pretty.
You fucking.
That was pretty
bum.
Funny.
Awful. But they let him go down, scored a touchdown there, and then they let up 1 late in the game too. That for some reason. Okay, so everyone talks about what a great signing Steven Nelson is. Nobody's throwing at him. He's been a lockdown corner all year. Buffalo, Josh Allen decides to start throwing at him, and he gets pretty beat all game.
Got an interception,
he let up
though.
That touchdown. He did off of a tip pass. You know, interception's an interception. You take it. That's what a lot of Minka's interceptions
This is what
from.
I say, though. Your defense held him to 17 points. In today's NFL, if you hold a team to 17 points, you should win the game. Period.
Yes.
So I think the defense did their job. I know Josh Allen played better than what I thought, you know, he's capable of against the Steelers defense. But they still held him to 17 points. That's nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They,
yeah. And it was all throwing for him, too. He wasn't getting out because they kept a spy on him. They kept Vince Williams spying on him.
Yeah.
He ran a couple times, but he beat him with their arm. And his best drive was 6 plays, 70 yards for a touchdown. And that's the biggest thing there to a guy who's had 5 catches all year, Tom Croft.
So now Steelers can't get the 5th seed. Their chance of making the playoffs, the 6th seed or nothing at this point. Where do the Steelers go from here?
Yeah.
You continue to go with Duck. You roll with Duck.
Yes, yeah. Look, Mason Rudolph got the start after that 4 interceptions and picking a fight in Cleveland. He got the start the next game, and then he came out and sucked, and they yanked him. But the difference between what Devlin is doing, and Mason wasn't scoring. Mason wasn't moving this offense. When Devlin is doing good, he's moving this offense. He's getting him in position. He can throw it deep and let something happen. Yeah, I've even said this before. You're going to have games like this because he's a gunslinger. He's going to throw interceptions. It sucks. He's a rookie. You don't want to see it, but that's going to happen. They should stick with him going into the Jets game. I think you have to. If he comes out and throws 3 interceptions in the first half, okay, pull him. If that's what you feel you have to do. But understand, you're taking away your best quarterback to score with. Mason Rudolph is not going to stretch the field like Devlin does.
Yeah, but he was so good at that in college. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know what's going on with him, with him not wanting to take the shots. But he doesn't. He's not reading the field well. And also, one of the other things about Mason coming out was he was good at pre-snap reads. He could see who he had.
That's because defenses in the Big 12 suck. So who cares what his reads are?
So he knew what was coming. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why he was so good at slinging the ball deep, because he knew, okay, they're in this defense. All right, run this. Boom.
I mean, I agree.
I'm
sorry. I mean, I agree. I think you got to roll with Duck, because more than likely the Steelers are going to be in the playoffs. Their schedule is what? The Jets and the Ravens, and the Ravens will more than likely be resting their starters come week 17. The only other real threat to the Steelers at this point is the Titans, because the Colts would have to win out and a few other things, and the Steelers would have to lose out, I'm pretty sure. So, they're going to be in the playoffs, more than likely. And you can't just keep, you know, flipping your quarterback back and forth. So,
no.
Got to roll with Hodges, too, and just kind of, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he should be the starter. Tomlin, everyone's like, oh, Tomlin didn't commit to him. Tomlin was pissed.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not talking about that right now. We just lost the game. He didn't say, oh, I just don't know what we're going to – no, he said, I'm pissed off. So don't read too much into him saying that.
Yeah.
Devlin is the starter going forward.
Yeah. And I think they need to commit to the run and let their defense win games. Hodges be a game manager.
I agree with you. And I mean, look, you have to let him throw.
I mean, you have to let him throw, but he needs to manage the game. You can't just let him go out there and be slinging it around everywhere if he's going to be turning the ball over.
I get it. But, like, you know, with watching the Eagles, the Steelers wide receiver, I mean, you have James Washington, who's really come on hot, but he's a deep guy.
Johnson's going to be good.
Deontay Johnson, he's going to be really good. Yeah, you said that earlier. You have Deontay Johnson, who is developing. He's still a rookie, but he's developing. I think once you get Juju back, you put him in the slot, that's going to change a lot for Devlin.
Yeah.
Especially over the middle, because that's where Juju is really good.
We'll see. I heard he just sprained his knee dancing at a Penn State
party. Oh, my God. Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, like
about not going to the Arizona game?
It's what did he say? Did he say something about?
He said, I don't want to take a flight across country and be sitting on a plane for 4 hours where my knee will get stiff and it won't let me recover. But that night, he took a 2-hour drive to Penn State
and was
to go party.
Yeah. And didn't he say, like, mind your, like, don't worry about my personal life?
I'm human too.
Yeah.
This is, I'm allowed to live my life.
It's like, oh, here we go. 2.0, baby.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Man. Well, we've been going on about 40 minutes now. Anything else before we head out on this game?
No, just the defense looked good, except for those that one touchdown. TJ Watt's amazing. Yeah. The defensive line looked pretty good. Cam Hayward is a monster. He doesn't get enough credit for the things he does. Nah, that's it, man. Tough loss.
But they're still in playoff position.
Yeah, yeah. We need it's a weird – I don't want to break it down right now. It's a weird thing. Steelers need to
win. Yeah, we can get into more of that.
If they went out, they're in. Yeah, we can talk about that because there's something with the Titans. Like, if the Titans
– Don't
the Steelers
– Don't even worry about it. We'll go over all that next on the next podcast. I do believe we had another review.
Oh, yeah.
Want to read it for us?
Let me pull that up. Hold on. Sorry, I was still on my notes. So we got another review on Apple Podcast from Stillers479.
All right.
They said, love the insight and breakdown, boys. Raw and unfiltered, the way I like my sports dogs.
All right. Thank you. So,
thank you very much for that.
What was it? Stillers479?
Every little bit helps. Stiller,
whoever you are, thank you very much for listening, and we'll continue to bring you some real raw emotions.
Mediocre breakdowns.
Yes. So, all right, that's all I got. Next week, the Steelers are in New York, right?
Yeah, 1 o'clock.
And of course, the Eagles will be hosting the Dallas Cowboys, 425 America's Game of the Week for the NFC East crown. We'll get into more. We'll get into more of that on Thursday. Jay, tell them where they can find us.
Yep. So check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Get us on Twitter at @birds_bird, Facebook page Birds in the Bird Podcast. Please like, review, and subscribe on all those. Just hit us up on anything. We'll talk back.
Sounds good. That was the Birds in the Bird Football Podcast, episode 41. We'll catch everybody on Thursday.